This is Atenea Americana, your house of culture in radio and online, bringing a window to the world of Hispanics and Latinos in every field of human knowledge. I am your host and producer, Isabel Jubes. Today, here in Atenea Americana, we have two guests featuring the company Siembra, an innovative application that helps youngsters to graduate. Siembra is made of a broad array of Latino professionals. They are in many different fields of knowledge, and they know intimately the struggles of achieving good grades at school when both parents work and actually graduating from it. Latinos are the base of the next generation in our country. And the success of our country depends on how successful we are in educating the next generation of youngsters. Today, the founder of Siembra, Timoteo de la Osa.
We get about 10 students a session that come up to us and ask us, I want to be a musician, but I don't know how to get there. Can you please help me? That question comes up quite often, as does questions from other students who want to become a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer. They're asking us directly, being an old guy and a parent, what parent would deny their own child an ability to find a way to become more of who they want to be?
And the very successful three-times Grammy Award winner, Oscar Hernandez, director of Harlem Hispanic Orchestra, are here to tell us more about it.
College was never mentioned in my house, so I immediately related to his mission and what he was trying to do. For me, it was a no-brainer to be able to try and help in any way that I can. You know, what we're talking about is directing ourselves to any inner-city Latinos that have had issues with education and graduating on time and graduating at all. So that's something I could certainly relate to and have enough experience because I lived it. So for me, now being successful and being a three-time Grammy winner and having dealt with all kinds of situations in my life, if I can find a way to help with this problem, then, it, like I said, it's a no-brainer.
Remember that this is Atenea Americana, and I am transmitting from KCSU Stanford 90.1 FM. Welcome, Tim. Welcome, Oscar. Thank you for being here in Atenea Americana. Can you tell us a little bit about Siembra Latino?
About 3 years ago, my daughter, Monica, who is Mexicana, graduated from San Francisco State University, and upon graduation came to me with her comadre, Felicitas Rubalcaba, who is a bilingual educator in Chula Vista, California. And they asked me a simple question: if Silicon Valley is so intelligent, why can't they come up with a solution to help more of my friends graduate from high school? So I didn't take that question particularly seriously, but was reading various articles from the New York Times and Los Angeles Times about Latino education in the United States. And it occurred to me that there was really a challenge to our country to find a way to reach more students to help them graduate and get them a four-year degree and a four-year college education and a career that really has substance in either the science, technology, engineering, and math field or some other field like music. So the statistics were alarming in the sense that the country here in the North, more than 50% of our kids born today are Latino. Our wonderful country, the United States, is the second largest Spanish-speaking country in the world. And our kids are adopting 4G technology faster than any other demographic. But at the same time, we're dropping out at about a 50% rate. And when you consider that the Latino population, our communities, will comprise about 33% of the total U.S. population by the middle of the century, we see a challenge to our country in a way that is very compelling, that needs attention. So I'm always inspired by music, the creative arts. My family are musicians and artists. And so I called Oscar Hernandez some years ago. I think it was a couple years ago, Oscar. And I asked him for some help and direction, his experience, strength, and hope to help us develop an organization here in Silicon Valley that could tap into the best minds here in Silicon Valley with the heart of Los Angeles and the creative genius and energy of the people that Oscar works with on a daily basis, in creating a dynamic company that has this energy that reflects our community, but also has this passion to solve a real issue. And so Oscar has been very kind to come on board with his energy and with his experience. And I'm very honored to have him as a friend, and he's been a great help.
How do you plan with your company to resolve the issue? What is your approach?
Well, in California, primarily, there's where the state is strapped for cash, and school districts, the public sector, are strapped with limited budget in order to address a growing issue. So, being a Silicon Valley technology veteran, I've been here forever and have worked for a number of companies from Netscape to Airflash to Rambus and other companies in executive financial roles. It occurred to me that we can apply the urgency of a technology startup company to attract the best minds in Silicon Valley to address this issue. And so we focused in on the counseling ratio of 800 students to one counselor in California. And we believe that we can scale the counselor's office in a way that the counselor can reach out and touch their students more times per year than they're currently doing. So counselors normally meet a student at most twice in an academic year. This has a disproportionate negative effect on the Latino family, who depends on counseling in as much as they depend on teachers to get through high school. So it may not bother the Anglo student as much or the Asian student as much, but when both parents are working to put food on the table, our Latino students are left behind in this counseling ratio, and we can find a way to take mobile devices, and our students are already mobile capable. They're walking around with 4G devices, iPhones and iPads, that we can create applications specifically for the counselor's office to tap into that energy and to give them immediate connectivity to the student, and the student can ask the counselor questions, and the parents can ask the counselor questions more than twice a year. What we're looking at is twice a week, and we keep the students focused on their academics and move them through the system successfully so they can graduate on time.
How did the participation of Oscar came to your help? You have been friends for a while, and he offered his help. I understand that he's been helping you with concerts and raising awareness and money.
That's exactly true. So part of the inspiration for Siembra goes way, way back. When I was a kid, I would listen to Ruben Blades, and Oscar was playing his piano and writing all those beautiful songs back in the 80s and into the 90s with Ceste Solar, the CD, Antecedente, Buscando America, and then, of course, you know, way back when, I remember the song called Siembra. And so the thing is, this inspiration, which is part of the energy and the passion that we bring to the table in solving the issue, it's just not a mathematical equation where you just kind of like look at it in a very sterile way. Part of living is having this flavor and energy in bringing to the table our heart and our mind in a way that collaborates with each other's gifting. And so Oscar has this gift of not just being a wonderful pianist and composer, but he has this experience, this life experience that we can draw from. And that life experience that he has in his orchestrations and in managing large musical enterprises really is a benefit to us, because he understands the patience in bringing teams together and moving them forward to accomplish an objective.
I think it all started with Tim being a music fan, Isabel, and I think that he became aware of what I was doing, and he reached out to me. And fact of the matter, when he reached out to me and made me aware of, you know, the problems that, you know, Latino students are having, when you say there's a 40% dropout rate for Latino students, that blew my mind. You know, I was like, what? How could that be? The truth of the matter is I'm an inner city student myself. You know, when I was a kid, I come from the inner city. I came from the ghetto, originally from the South Bronx in New York City, and came from a very poor family. College was never mentioned in my house. I immediately related to his mission and what he was trying to do. And for me, it was a no-brainer to be able to try and help in any way that I can. And when he solicited my help, I said, obviously, without a doubt, I'm there. What, you know, how can I help? I didn't know how I can help specifically. But in general, I think that I'm a person who's, you know, what we're talking about is directing ourselves to any inner city Latinos that have had issues with education and graduating on time and graduating at all. So that's something I could certainly relate to and have enough experience because I lived it. So for me, now being successful and being a three-time Grammy winner and having dealt with all kinds of situations in my life, if I can find a way to help with this problem, then, it, like I said, it was a no-brainer. So we're pooling our resources together and trying to make things happen, and hopefully I can be an example of somebody who did come from an inner city who went on to be successful, and I deal with successful people, and hopefully parlay that into adding a little grain to help this dire situation that we have.
Remember that this is Atenea Americana, your house of culture in radio and online, bringing a window to the world of Hispanics and Latinos in every field of human knowledge. Our website is still under construction, but it will be under stanfordhispanicbroadcasting.org. Hope to see you there soon. I am transmitting from KCSU Stanford 90.1 FM. Our guests today are Timothy de la Osa from Siembra and Oscar Hernandez from Hispanic Harlem Orchestra. Thank you. You are listening to Oscar Hernandez with Danzón for My Father.
So I see that you were telling us about your experience with Rubén Blades, with Los Eidos Solar, with Willy Colón. Those are very politically minded music and musicians. So I gather that for you it's also important that music makes a change in society.
No doubt about it. I mean, there's always, first of all, before being musicians, we're people who live in a society that presents us with all these problems. And I like to think that we're compassionate people, people who have a sense of our community and what it's about and the problems it faces on a daily basis. And if we find a way to help, I think we have that obligation and responsibility to give back to the community and find a way to help. So yeah, for me, being Rubén Blades' musical director, I like to think that I'm very much the same way, even if I didn't work with him, but obviously he was an example of a socially conscious person that tried to make people aware beyond the partying, let's have a good time aspect of the music into planting a social conscious seed to people. I like to think that I'll add my little grain of salt wherever I can to make things better.
And he's done much more than that. In our pilot meetings in East Los Angeles to provide counselors with the Siembra application at a couple of high schools in East LA. We get about 10 students a session that come up to us and ask us, I want to be a musician, but I don't know how to get there. Can you please help me? That question comes up quite often, as does questions from other students who want to become a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer. They're asking us directly, there is nobody in my family who is a doctor. I want to become a doctor. Can you help me find a way? Being an old guy and a parent, what parent would deny their own child an ability to find a way to become more of who they want to be? And so what we do here at Siembra is we want to connect the people who have a heart for this in a way that provides clear pathways for students to find their gift. And I really think that's really the next generation. That's the calling of this generation. That's the calling of this era. That for especially here in the North, we have to find ways to help our students graduate and find their gifting.
Siwa International is a non-profit organization with charitable projects in the U.S., India, and other countries worldwide. Siwa's focus is on helping in the event of natural disasters and also providing support for refugee welfare, education, and healthcare, as well as promoting volunteerism. For more information, or if you'd like to donate, visit siwausa.org. That's SEWAUSA.org. Explaining to me that it's not a non-profit, you are not looking for grants, you actually have stockholders. So what is the way how you make money for the stockholder and make actually a for-profit company out of this?
Well, that's a great question. So we ascribe to a concept that was first written about by Michael Porter from Harvard Business School, and the concept is called shared value. And the underlying premise of this is that capitalism has to find its way again. And that is we identify challenges like this particular challenge and see it as a way to address an issue, a market need, in a way that has a sense of urgency. And so there are people that in companies that are particularly interested in solving this issue, believe it or not. And one of them is Education Funding Partners, started by Mickey Freeman. They were on CNN about a year ago, and they've come up with an innovative way to help fund high schools and middle schools here in California to buy them computers and hardware and other supplies to help their students get through school. Well, we've adapted that same basic concept. And myself, here in Silicon Valley to get the best minds motivated. I'm competing against the Googles. I'm competing against the Facebooks. I'm competing against Twitter. In order for me to attract the best engineers to this social movement, we have to incentivize them that for your work 24/7, and believe you me, I've been in this environment before. Once a young person, a young engineer or business development person commits themselves to this type of enterprise, it consumes us 24/7 to find solutions to the issues. And so why not? These people should be compensated for their hard work and their lifelong dedication to solving a real issue. And we can do that with a sense of urgency. And I quite honestly, this challenge to us requires a sense of urgency, or we're not going to be able to compete in 25 to 50 years.
As you say before, even the presidents say that it's the utmost importance to educate and keep on the edge to all the emerging Latin population in the United States, because they're going to be the one driving the economy in a few years.
That's very true. So President Barack Obama's legislation in 2011 about Latino education specifically identifies for-profit businesses and technology to help accelerate solutions to this issue. And so that's what we're trying to create an ecosystem of concerned Latinos who are, for example, here at Stanford University, to reach back to the next generation and to share their experience, strength, and hope with the next generation, and tell your brother, sister, aunt, uncle, or whomever it might be, that this is, I address these challenges in my life, and this is how I got to Stanford. That statement, that experience is so valuable to a student who is a sophomore in high school in some school in East LA. They want to hear that story. So I encourage anyone who is interested in helping us here at Stanford or in the Bay Area to call us anytime, because your experience, strength, and hope means a lot to the next generation.
We will have the link of your company and all your contacts in our website. So you are proposing people to be mentors and give meaning to their life, passing on some of their experience.
It doesn't really take that much. You know, when you just sit and recall some of the basic challenges we've had in life and how did we get through those. And so I was struck by Oscar, you know, and Oscar can get into this a little bit more about his early years and how he got into professional music.
So, Oscar, how was it for you to start from an inner-city kid in New York to get to places like, well, the Grammys, to play with big stars like Rubén Blades?
Well, I was extremely fortunate, I have to say. I think that early on, somebody donated a piano. They gave me a piano. And I don't think if that happened, I probably wouldn't have gotten into music. I don't know. Because we couldn't afford to have a piano. I come from a family of 11 kids. And I think, looking back, it was all meant to be. It sparked a unique interest for me in terms of, you know, the world of the arts and the world of music that led me to a beautiful path in my life. Unlike so many other people that I grew up with who weren't as fortunate, I think I happened to be fortunate at the time. And I did have great parents, I got to say. You know, we were poor, but, you know, they showed me, you know, values that were very important to me as a person that I like to think that still live with me today. But not everybody is that fortunate. So I think, though, the fact remains that music and the world of, you know, the art that's out there, the artistic world that's out there, can be a calling for a lot of people and can be a source of inspiration to people to do something with their lives. And that was, my particular story and my case in point, and it worked for me. And I do give a lot of seminars at universities and workshops and lecture demonstrations to young students, teaching them about the world of music. And I could see there's a lot of interest for people who want to make this their livelihood. And it's important for me to pass that on, my information on, in terms of all the experience that I've had, because I did subsequently go to school and get a degree in music, but my experience came from the street, basically, from learning, firsthand from musicians who were older and better than me, and I could learn firsthand from, because I started playing professionally when I was 16. So I think I'd like to think that I want to be able to help people who have that type of interest to know that they can have a future in the world of the art.
Yeah.
Free Speech TV is an independent, publicly supported nonprofit TV platform that reaches 35 million households in the U.S. Using both television and the internet, Free Speech TV inspires viewers to become civically engaged in building a more just, equitable, and sustainable society. You can get involved by joining an online community, subscribing to the e-guide or RSS feeds, sharing videos, of course, making a donation. For more information, visit freespeech.org.
So Oscar is so honest. At an early age, he was asked by some of the really legends of the music industry, Ray Barreto, Tito Puente, Celia Cruz, to help with their music and to comp with them and to in some instances lead their orchestras.
Wow. Wow.
I was fortunate to be exposed to those people at an early age, and they were examples for me, because people who were a lot more experienced than I was, and I could see the value of that they offered the world of music firsthand, being close to them and being exposed to their music and learning from them. So, like I said, I was extremely fortunate. I like to think you had some talent there early on that I demonstrated that helped me, but it was also the passion that I had and the opportunity, because without opportunity and without a sense of passion, it's hard to get anywhere, and I think that's important that we help, further generations or future generations get in contact with those feelings and those possibilities.
I think it was Oprah Winfrey. She said that luck is to be prepared when opportunity strikes.
That's correct.
Exactly. So, and that's a perfect case in point in my life. And I think it's something that everybody could use.
So I wanted to mention that Oscar and his orchestra, I think they just completed their latest CD, and they will be appearing here at Yoshi's in May 24th and 25th in Oakland at the Yoshi's establishment.
I'd like to invite you and extend the invitation and come to see one of the best bands of this style of music that exists. And, we have 2 Grammys. 1 and 4 Grammy nominations, and it's for good reason. We're pretty good at what we do now. And we have a new record coming out that we're really excited about.
That this is Atenea Americana, and I am transmitting from KCSU Stanford 90.1 FM. Our guests today are Timothy de la Osa from Siembra and Oscar Hernandez from Hispanic Harlem Orchestra. Oscar will be this Saturday in Oakland, and he will be helping to bring awareness for the Siembra Latino organization. We'll be right back. Now, you're listening at KCSU Stanford 90.1 FM and Atenea Americana to Oscar Hernandez Quintet performing Time Shift. Remember that they will be this Saturday at Yoshi in Auckland.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Spanish Orquesta? How many people? How did it start?
Well, Spanish Harlem Orchestra is a band from New York. Like I said, I'm from New York, and it started in the year 2000. And it was a project that came to me via a music producer, and he had a deal with a major record label to do a certain concept record, you know, this style of music, and he called me to musically produce the record, and we did it. I gathered all the musicians, we went into the studio, we recorded it, we picked the material, and then I think the project was subsequently dropped by Warner Brother Records. And then he went on and sold the record to a small label, which put it out early in the year 2000, and late in the year 2001. Year 2002, it got a Grammy nomination. And since then, it had afforded me the ability to form the band and travel all over the world. And since then, we've had 4 CDs and 4 Grammy nominations and 2 Grammys won. So it afforded me, Isabel, the possibility to make my mark and to present my music all over the world, like I hear it in my head and I feel it in my heart, and like I learned it from all the great people that I've been so blessed and fortunate to have shared stages and recording studios with all over the world. So I'm really proud of the work that we're doing and, you know, maintaining a rich tradition and a rich legacy that comes along with this music that I don't take for granted. I'm really fierce about protecting that and demonstrating it and educating people about it.
His music is quite remarkable. The orchestrations are extremely sophisticated, and the rhythms, of course, are infectious. But I would like to say that the musicians in his band are all professional. It's like they are extremely the best of the best. And when you bring that all together in an ensemble like the Spanish Harlem Orchestra, it's a real joy to listen and be a part of it at an event like what's coming up at Yoshi's in May.
13 musicians, Isabel. You had asked me how many musicians. It's 10 instrumentalists and 3 vocalists.
And now you are actually in L.A.
Living in L.A. for the last 7 years. The band is in New York. They travel from New York. I'm in New York a lot. I'm actually kind of bi-coastal. I still go to New York a lot. I'm there 6 to 8 times a year. But I happen to be living in L.A. I got married, and I made a family out here. So it's kind of interesting to see the dynamics that exist on both coasts, similarities and differences. And it's very cool from my perspective to see and take advantage of both to see how it works, especially with, you know, our Latinos communities on both coasts.
Do you mentor kids in L.A.? Have you had the opportunity to actually show them that it can be done?
You know what? I don't have the opportunity that often. I'd like to. We did a seminar here a couple of years back and exposed a lot of students to our music, and it was very successful. And I hope to, you know, implement that in the near future again and, keep it on a semi-regular basis. But I travel a lot. I'm working a lot. Like I said, it's hard for me to maintain a steady schedule with stuff like that. But we also do universities. As part of traveling with the orchestra, we do performing arts centers, and we do universities. We've done all the universities. We've done San Francisco, we've done Berkeley, we've done UC Cal Davis, UC Santa Barbara, we've done
Stanford.
USC, Stanford actually as well. So, and we do sometimes a lot of lecture demonstrations and give people opportunity to have an insight to who we are and what we do and how we do it.
Well, and now with Siembra, you're going to have more opportunities to mentor.
Well, hopefully that's part of, you know, why I'm here as well, because I want to be able to bring my expertise in what I do and help young students find themselves, you know, with a career in music if that's what they choose to do. And who better than a person like me that has lived their same experiences, you know, on many levels. So we'll see what the future holds, but hopefully, yes, that's what we'd like to be doing.
Every 2 seconds, someone in the U.S. needs blood. The Stanford Blood Center supplies patients with more than 100,000 blood components per year to help save lives. They rely on community donors like you to accomplish their mission of making sure blood is there when needed. All healthy, eligible individuals are invited to donate. For more information, call the Stanford Blood Center at 650-723-7831 or visit bloodcenter.stanford.edu.
They don't know if they're going to make it. They see how difficult life is and how many things you're going to find in your way to make it even harder. What do you think is the best message?
I would say that understand that it's a process that we go through in life that exists with many obstacles, many things along your path that are going to be in your way in terms of... And that you're going to have many doubts and many insecurities, and accept that and know that everybody goes through that, no matter where you come from, who you are, and it's important that you persevere through those feelings and have a sense of a positive and a sense of loving yourself and caring for yourself and a sense of having a goal to do well in life. So I think... just creating a mindset, to help create a mindset in people that no matter what we go through, whatever, you know, hardships we've gone through in our life, that we can forge ahead and still make, you know, positive things happen for ourselves. That's one of the things I had to work through, Isabel, you know, my own doubts and insecurities of where I came from, who I was, and not having certain advantages, certain things, and realize that that's not the be-all to end all to things. It's there's a lot out there for everybody, and you have to find your path and work through those things. So I would say perseverance in life is important, because we're all going to go through challenges and be faced with different challenges, and know that it's part of, you know, what we all face.
Suppose that after you're a teenager and you met people like Celia Cruz or Tito Puentes and get asked to join forces with them, I mean, you kind of have a clear idea that that's what you should be doing.
Well, you know, the early years, you're kind of just going along. For me, I have to be honest, I just went along and I took it for granted. I didn't realize... Later on, I didn't realize the total spectrum of the importance of playing with Celia Cruz when I was 21, and then of traveling and touring and meeting Tito Puente, playing with him and all the great people that I was able to meet. I wasn't later on until I realized, wait a minute, this is what I'm meant to be doing. It's very special, and I shouldn't take it for granted. But it's all part of being young. And sometimes not realizing the full picture, but like I said, just developing a positive attitude and a positive energy about yourself, and that things are going to work out despite whatever changes you may go through. Because I certainly went through my own challenges in different ways, and I like to think that now, you know, obviously I persevered through whatever I went through, and I'm still here, and luck has a little bit to do with it, but it was also having a positive mindset about things that were going on in my life and working through things.
And this is the Hispanic Harlem Orchestra with Llegó la Banda.
La
And this is the Hispanish Harlem Orchestra with Llegó la Banda. Remember that this is Atenea Americana, and I am transmitting from KCSU Stanford 90.1 FM. Our guests today are Timothy de la Osa from Siembra and Oscar Hernandez from Hispanic Harlem Orchestra. Oscar will be this Saturday in Oakland, and he will be helping to bring awareness for the Siembra Latino organization. And I am your host and producer, Isabel Juves. Stay with us for more of today's show with SiembraLatino.org.
So to come back a little bit about the application, Siembra. It's going to be something that the kids can reach from their cell phones or from their mobile devices.
Correct.
And they can actually talk in person with the counselor, send messages, send videos.
Yes. So here's phase one. We have established in public schools in California that the counselor's office is being overwhelmed by the number of demands and questions and requests from students and their parents. Mm-hmm. That the counselor don't have the time or ability to meet with all of them during the school year. So we also know that our Latino student is adopting this technology, iPhone, iPad, mobile device, faster than any other demographic in the U.S. And
Most of them are actually getting one from school.
Yes, these students are already tech savvy and have already made the capital investment to be connected. So if they're connecting on Facebook or Instagram or sending email or Gmail, then it behooves us to direct the technology to an issue that actually can produce results. So that is what Siembra is all about. Our management team are Latinos who have gone through the struggle of self-doubt, of frustration, of almost giving up, but have pushed forward. Gabriel Gutierrez is on our board advisory. Her parents are from the Bracero program, and she graduated. She worked the fields in Watsonville and Salinas. She is my daughter's tia, and she graduated with a doctorate of education here from Stanford University and is now full professor of Latino studies at University of Seattle. She's but one example of many. And so what we're doing here is we're connecting the counselor with the student in a way that scales the counselor's office, and the student can have comfort in knowing that they can connect with their counselor anytime, day or night, and say, I'm having an issue with this. Can you please help me get through this?
And the counselors can be everywhere in the United States.
So in our phase one program is that the counselor is with the public schools. And then we believe that there will probably come a point where we're going to hire counselors through Siembra to relieve school districts of the budget, because currently the budget is so constrained, we don't have enough counselors to go around. So why don't we create counseling as a business and pay counselors to help students who are counselors who are certified and have them scale and help more students get through school and into college. And so we can actually create a self-sustaining business that generates capital to solve an ever-growing issue. We just need concerned people with professional background and the heart and energy to help us proceed to the next level. And I'm so happy to have Oscar on board and Gabriela and the other board advisors that we have who have brought their experience with them.
So are you going to give this tool first? You're going to start alliance with the school districts and have like
now.
A try out.
We're doing that now. Yes.
Great. So, what districts are you?
So we're working with the Bassett School District in Los Angeles, El Rancho School District in Los Angeles, Hayward Unified up here in the Bay Area, also Gilroy. We have. Approximately 1,000 students in our initial pilot in Los Angeles at the Bassett High School. and we've had requests for more applications. So they've asked us for a mobile app. So it's really kind of funny. The counselors that we're dealing with, like Hector Armas in Los Angeles, he's walking around with a flip phone, a 5 or 6 year old flip phone, and he's texting his students one at a time. And, you know, it's obvious to us. We can build a very easy platform for him to text one or 100 students at once and to allow them, allow the counselor to provide notifications to these students to show up at the SAT preparation on Saturday morning in the gym, or, you know, or to give the student an ability to text back to the counselor that they're having issues with Algebra 1. Can you please help me? So when you have this type of connectivity and the power that a directed social network to solve this issue, then we can bring in our business model is a little complicated, but our business model is that we found strategic partners to help fund this and grow the business, and where we can actually hire engineers, business development people, and counselors.
Spanish Harlem Orchestra with the song Perla Morena. Remember that this is Atenea Americana, and I am transmitting from KCSU Stanford 90.1 FM. Our guests today are Timothy de la Osa from Siembra and Oscar Hernandez from Hispanic Harlem Orchestra. Oscar will be this Saturday in Oakland, and he will be helping to bring awareness for the Siembra Latino organization. And I am your host and producer, Isabel Juves. Stay with us for more of today's show with SiembraLatino.org. And this is Spanish Harlem Orchestra with the song Perla Morena.
What do these strategic partners get back from it?
They get a better educated consumer, consumer that is going to have a higher earnings ability to spend more on their products. So Apple Computer, for example, they are actually investing in their next generation of consumer, as an example. They get that. They a more intelligent population. They get a direct, and probably for them, they get a direct line of goodwill into the fastest growing community in the United States. The Latino population, like I said, more than 50% of our children are Latino today that are being born. 60% of our teen market will be Latino by the middle of the next decade. So the situation is we have this coming tidal wave of Latino students, Latino power, el poder de la familia. We have this beautiful convergence, and now it's up to the adults to bring them forward and to help the next generation.
Is it a bilingual application, website?
So we are proponent of bilingual education. Most industrialized countries in the world today are bilingual. The fact is that we have a huge economic bloc in this hemisphere and in the southern hemisphere that can stand some more attention. We know from statistics that children that are brought up with two languages have a greater intelligence quotient in order to adopt mathematics, to learn mathematics, to learn other languages, to learn other subjects, more than a kid that is probably just monolingual.
And if you start from there, Spanish is the second first language spoken in the world after Mandarin. So if you have a kid that knows how to speak English, which is a business language, and one of the first second languages in the world, and then you have a kid who speaks Spanish, you can communicate with most of the world population right there.
That's a very perceptive observation, and that came out in Forbes magazine, a very interesting article after the last national election, and how there was a lack of analysis regarding cultural relevance. This term cultural relevance and how the dominant culture is missing the boat, and not having a greater sensitivity to cultural relevance for a population that's going to be a full third of the U.S. total population by the middle of the century. So the thing is, we as human beings, not just marketers, but just as human beings, to reach out to the next generation and to reach out to their families in ways that resonates with them, that if we're able to mobilize indigenous populations in foreign lands, in our view, we have an indigenous population here in the United States. So why don't we resonate with them in a way to help the next generation, help their children succeed in college? And I think that my daughter is Mexicana.
She's born in U.S.
She's born in the U.S. My wife Yolanda Gutierrez was born in Santiago Papasquiaro, Durango, Mexico. And Gabriel Gutierrez, her sister. My mother, Magdalena de la Rosa, was born in Nogales. The thing is, the flavors of Latino is all over. But ultimately, there is a core feeling, a core calling for all of us to come together and to help the next generation. And so as a parent and getting my daughter through college, I remember how at times that was such a difficult struggle, but it was so incredibly rewarding. And we know that the parents of our students, we know in Siembra, we know the parents have that same passion, and they want to see their children succeed.
Great. Well, thank you for coming, and thank you for giving us the opportunity to showcase such a wonderful project. Hopefully, people will be aware of all these opportunities and will open their minds and hearts.
Yes.
Well, towards it.
Thank you very much, and we look forward to having you at the concert in May.
Great.
Todos vuelven a la tierra en que nacieron, al embrujo incomparable de su sol. Todos vuelven al rincón de donde salieron, donde acaso floreció más de un amor. Bajo el árbol solitario del pasado, ¿cuántas veces nos ponemos a soñar? Todos vuelven por la ruta del recuerdo, y solo el tiempo del amor no vuelve más. Y el aire que trae en su mano, la flor del pasado, su aroma de ayer, nos dice muy quedo al oído, su canto aprendido del atardecer. Nos dice con voz misteriosa, de nardo y de rosa, de luna y de miel, que es santo el amor de la tierra y que triste en la ausencia que deja el ayer. Santo el amor de la tierra, que triste en la ausencia deja el ayer. Una cosita del ayer, música en vivo.
Todos vuelven.
Panamá, América. ¡Uh! Señor.